Fractured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're off.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. I'm just wondering what you're going to send. Not if you're going to send wretched things, but what you'll send to idea@wretched.org, or what might be on your mind is expressed through the texter machine, 877-282-2337.
All right. We are starting with Adrian today. Todd, how can my husband and I specifically pray for the members of our church? We're currently praying through our church directory, and there are just so many people that we have yet to meet.
Yeah.
And we don't know them well enough yet to specifically pray for them. So what are the kinds of things we could pray for?
Everybody's got general category needs, don't we? Don't think that anybody doesn't need prayer for pretty much all of these categories, because if it isn't now, it will be soon, where we are struggling with family relationships, financial issues. Jimmy, I got it. Oh, this, I never thought I would say it. This is so helpful.
What's that?
Just follow the pattern of Andy Stanley. You see, he basically has five needs that people have, and he rotates the sermon series based on those needs. So it's a family, it's finances, maybe it's emotions, relationships, and then basically it's just the same theme, just repackaged every single time. You could use those categories. You could use those because everybody has those struggles and issues. And you could even, you hate to use this to be lazy, but the Lord does know. We've heard that prayer before, haven't we? I've used that prayer before. Lord, you know the needs in this room. Well, he does. That shouldn't get us off the hook of knowing what those needs are and articulating them with more specificity, but we can pray in categories knowing that the Lord knows. So pray for their health, pray for their relationships, pray for their spiritual growth, pray for their spiritual protection and maturity, pray for the salvation of their kids, that they would be a bold witness for the Lord. And if you use those categories, they will apply to everybody. And then without having the pendulum just swing into the land of increasingly in your church, in my church, we should know those needs. That's what church is about. This might be a test. I think this would be fair for all of us. If right now you were asked to write down all of the needs, specific needs of people that you know in church, how long would the list be? If it's a short list, look, I'm not saying that we become this geeky, all right, I need three more people to know their needs. So what's going on in your life? Let's not get flaky about this, but genuine Christianity is one anothering, that we're getting into each other's mess, not in an intrusive way. And we got to give people space for that, by the way. It's interesting. There's two sides of this relational coin. There are the people who are at different levels when it comes to wanting to engage in deeper relationships. But then there are those who are the receiver of their desire. And they're in different places at the moment. They just might not be ready for that. Or they might be reeling to the degree where please. So we need to give each other some room and yet simultaneously not let each other off the hook. That we do get to know what's going on in somebody's life beyond whether they are going to go to the Georgia game this weekend or not. We do need to go deeper than what you think about the weather and politics. the church should be the place where we one another to the degree where we know what's going on in somebody's life. So if you've got a short list, maybe this would be a time to ask yourself some questions. Am I engaging with people on a deeper level? Am I willing to be vulnerable? Am I willing to perhaps have to spend something if I go that deep in a relationship? And I'm not talking cash necessarily. I'm talking about food delivery. I'm talking about visiting somebody in a hospital, taking care of their kids someday. Whatever it is that we're willing to do that, because that's what Christianity is about. It is a team sport. Yeah, individually we're sanctified, but we're also sanctified together. It's a group effort. We are a body. And if you don't know if your thumb is ever hurting or you got a trick knee, then maybe, just maybe, you need to engage a little deeper in your local body. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kyle. Todd, is it possible for Christians to experience worldly sorrow? Or is the experience of worldly sorrow evidence that one is not converted?
Well, if that's all you ever experience, yeah, that would be a sign. Oh, drat, I got caught. Oh, I don't like this outcome. If that's all your sorrow is, yeah, that would be a worldly sorrow. That would be a Judas and Esau. That would be a horizontal sorrow. And I'm in the middle of all of that. That is not a sorrow that saves. It is a vertical sorrow against my God, and against him only have I sinned and done that which is wicked in his sight. That is a genuine contrition for sins. That's how Christians should be predominantly feeling. But if you are genuinely born again, that really will be your expression of remorse over sin. But that doesn't mean you can't have worldly sorrow in that you're not bummed out over the sins. See, what I'm trying to say is, we got to be careful here, because an exclusively worldly sorrow, all horizontal, indicates you're not saved. But that doesn't mean as a Christian you can't have worldly sorrow. In fact, quite honestly, you should. Primarily, our sin is against God, but that doesn't mean we overlook the sin we've committed against one another. That we've hurt other people. And it, furthermore, we've got to be careful here, but I don't think that it's wrong that you hate the consequences for your sin. I mean, that's kind of weird not to, isn't it? That you realize that you've sinned, you're going to have to pay the price. And it's like, I don't like that. That's not that's normal to feel that. But if that's all you feel, well, then you're not genuinely repentant for your sin. And if I might use this as an opportunity to talk about somebody who was caught in their sin and is now experiencing the consequences of the world, how repentant the fellow is, I don't know. Do I care to mention his name? I don't. He broke the law. But the reason that I maybe want to squish it into this particular conversation is because I think that there's something to be learned from this prosperity preacher, famous guy. He's in Texas. He's on TV. He's on radio. Who is now in jail. That's what he is. He's now in jail. I would plead with you, if you are younger, don't believe me, but believe the Bible, the Proverbs, when it says, listen to older people. They know what they're talking about. If you can cross that bridge, I'm telling you, you will travel far, because they've learned stuff. Furthermore, they've learned it experientially, but they've also learned it definitively from the Bible. The sins that you commit will find you out. They'll find you out. Let me just read the headline without reading this guy's name. Prosperity preacher to spend 6 months in prison after pleading guilty to child sex abuse, beginning when the girl was 12 years old in the 1980s. It went on for 4.5 years. Now he's in handcuffs. He's been fingerprinted, had the mugshot. Now he's put in prison. His haircut isn't going to be nearly as natty as it currently is. Why? Because his sin found him out. And I share this not to bag on this guy. He's getting at least what he deserves, or at least part of what he deserves for this wicked act. Learn from him. Learn from people the right way and the wrong way. Learn from godly people when they download wisdom, and then learn from bad people to avoid it. Be careful when you're contemplating committing a sin. Be careful that you don't consider where this the effects that this could have. I know the feeling of youth that you're impervious to any consequences won't happen to me. Well, sure, the odds are, but not me. I'll never get busted. I'm telling you, your sin is going to find you out. Think long and hard before you do that thing that maybe you're contemplating even now. This guy's life is trashed. I think he's 60-some years old now. Probably at the height of his ministerial empire power. It's all gone. All gone. You don't want that to happen to you. So think long and hard before you commit a big, nasty sin. Think long and hard before you commit any sin, for that matter. But you got to know, it's going to find you out. And even if it doesn't, it will stalk you for the rest of your life. It will haunt you. It'll be the black cloud that hangs over your head no matter what you do. And on any given day, you're going to look up and go, oh, yeah, I remember I did that thing. Let this guy be a lesson to you. Don't commit sins that will haunt you. This is Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Be grateful you're not me. This is Wretched Radio. What did I do wrong? What was so awful that I left out of the conversation on worldly sorrow that you feel that must be said?
You just left out that sorrow, God uses sorrow to sanctify His people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably more than that I left out. That's
I think so. But it's an important thing, I think.
That when you do, and guilt is another good tool that God uses to help sanctify us.
Hebrews 12, I think it's, and all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. But to those who have been trained by it afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Isn't that a fruit that you want?
Absolutely.
All right. As long as you brought in the Bible verse, fine. Please send stuff, corrections, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org or text away at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Daniel. Todd, on a recent episode when you talked about the Charlie Kirk incident, you said several times that God ordained it. Mm-hmm. When I look at the definition of ordained, it says to make, order, or decree. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that God made, ordered, or decreed the shooting of Charlie Kirk to happen, or did you mean that He allowed it to happen?
No, I do not mean that He allowed it. I mean, can you rightly say He allowed it? Yes, but it's insufficient. And furthermore, if you just follow that. I was going to use a hunting illustration, but when the dog goes running after the animal that's fallen, that's whatever that thing is that you do there.
Retrieve.
What?
Retrieve?
Sure. Why not? You got to retrieve the animal. You got to follow the scent. That's what I think I was looking for. Yeah, when you're hunting an animal, that's what I was just playing with you. I knew what I was talking about all along. You got to follow the lead. Because if you say that God merely permitted it, all right, then that produces all kinds of questions and immediate problems. Why didn't He stop it? You still have to explain it. And then that is why the word ordain is better. Now, Jimmy, what were he had three synonyms that were used: a decree,
make, cause, order, make, order, or decree.
Make, order. They all have nuances there. So you got to be really careful. And that's why I always make a distinction between sinful and non-sinful calamities. A sinful calamity is something that somebody does that is evil. A non-sinful calamity could be sent directly from God, because He has the right to. It's not a sin. He's not committing a cosmic crime. Instead, He is doing something well within His rights. And it is not sinful. Is it hard? Is it difficult? Is it maybe even terrible? The answer is yes. But it's because He wants better things for His children. So He can send non-sinful calamities very directly. But if it's a sinful calamity, if it's evil, then no, he does not directly send it. He's the ultimate cause who uses proximate causes that work on the efficient causer, and therefore God's hands are clean. So to say that He merely permits it, well, I wouldn't argue that He permits it. I hear some squabbles about that, and I understand why, but I'm okay with the word permit, but it's not enough. The word ordain is what is needed to explain that God is perfectly within His rights to ordain. Now, again, non-sinful, sinful calamities, evil, or just something that's really, really hard. We need to remember that He is the ultimate cause of that, but He's not responsible for anything that is evil or terrible because He is ordering all things. Here's one for you, preached on this Sunday. This is a fascinating little detail in the passion narrative of our Savior. He dies. The six nonverbal sermons are preached by God with the earthquake, the veil, the tombs opening up. Those were sermons from God about the death of His Son. And then what do we see? We see that the centurion, and surely He was the Son of God. We see the women as the eyewitnesses to both the death and the burial, and also the resurrection, by the way, so that there's continuity with the eyewitness accounts. We also see then Joseph of Arimathea, we know from other Luke, maybe that John, one of the other gospels, that Nicodemus joined him to quickly get the body anointed enough for burial that day, because that was the Jewish custom. You had to get him buried that day. So they anointed him enough, wrapped him enough, put him inside of the rock-hewn tomb, which was located near the garden and the crucifixion site. But then we get some details from those rascally priests. They go to Pilate. Hey, he said he was going to rise again. And we need to deal with this, or it's going to be even worse when his disciples steal the body. And so because of their wicked desires, Pontius Pilate says, go secure the tomb, seal it. Here's a guard. So I don't know, 8, 12, 16 guard. Now, these are soldiers that are trained and equipped to protect that. They would not biff it. These soldiers were not buffoons. They secured the tomb. It was a heavy rock between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds made out of limestone. It would be a cylindrical sort of affair. You'd roll it in a slot, and then they sealed it. In other words, the evil actions of these priests give us proof sufficient that Jesus really died, he really buried, and he really rose again. It's just an airtight case. I don't believe it's just beyond the shadow of a doubt. No, it's like totally slam dunk. He definitely died. He definitely rose again. How do we know? Because of the petition of evil people to Pontius Pilate, they really, really secured that tomb. And that gives us confidence 2,000 years later, doesn't it? Now, that was evil. What they were doing was evil. They sought and succeeded in having the Son of God executed. That's evil. God didn't permit it. He ordained it because he uses it. And that is why we want to tackle evil head on and say that God does more than permit it. He uses it for glorious purposes that are eternal and good and transcendent and better than anything we would ever concoct or scheme for ourselves. And that then allows us to see the evil in our world and say, it is well with my soul, because I know that God is ordaining it. He's not just, whoa, 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 wait a second, the priests, I thought they were done. I thought they wouldn't do this on the Sabbath. What are they doing? Somebody, Gabriel, three angels, get them. That never happens. He's ordaining all things. Consider some of the calamities that we see even in the New Testament besides the death of our Savior. The greatest good came out of that. What about Stephen being stoned? What happened? Acts 7, I think verse 4, the gospel, because they dispersed because of the persecution of Christians. They didn't want to be next in line. What happened? They took the gospel all over the globe. What about Paul being locked in prison? Everybody would have wrung their hands. Oh no, this is evil. This is terrible. Why did God permit it? He didn't. He ordained it so that Paul could write the epistles that we read and profit from 2,000 years later. In other words, God does more than permit evil. He ordains it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joseph. Todd, I have two nephews under the age of 4, and I want to be a godly example for them. What are some things I should be working on?
Good on you, dude. Good on you. Everything. Let me just maybe reframe the question, which hopefully will just give a different perspective besides here's five things that you can do. Be the man that God wants you to be. Be that guy. And then interact with your nephews. That's it. Be that. Because if I say, well, you know, throw the baseball for him twice a week. Okay, take them to the amusement park. Oh, make sure that you pray with them before you eat. Make sure that they use lots of germ killer before they eat food. Okay, all cool. But life is a little messier than that. And besides that, that's just kind of rule book Christianity. I think Christianity that's genuine, authentic, and deeper and more profound just flows out of us. And so I suggest seek to be a godly man, that you're the man that those little nephews, they're just going to admire because you're there. And you don't even need to think about how you're going to comport yourself because that's what you are. You're not going to do stuff to be an influence. You're going to be an influence because of who you are, not because of what you do. That would be my encouragement. And furthermore, that's actually the encouragement for all of us, no matter what our relationship dynamics are. That's the encouragement for all of us. That's the goal of all of us. Now, the question, of course, is how do we do that? Well, the answer is given, I think, twofold. Number one, you've got means of growth. Acts 2:42. You read your Bible, you listen to sermons, you gather together, you take the Lord's table together, you watch baptisms, you pray together. Those things are going to grow you. But I would add this. As you do those things, make sure that you understand the end. And the end of those studies and downloading of doctrine and dogma is that you would love Jesus Christ more because you see him as more magnificent each and every day. And that is what you need to motivate you then to be a very godly man who, what a fruit, will be a really great uncle. This is Wretched Radio.